Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel is called to shepherd Israel. He has a very unusual prophetic ministry. He sees and hears things that, well, no other prophet has. How do we understand this Old Testament prophet, especially in the context of the coming Christ, the promised Messiah? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year continues. Today we're going to be talking about Ezekiel. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's Director of Evangelism and Missions, Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. He is author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Delighted to be with you, Todd.
What did we talk about last time?
Last time we were sketching the rather somber picture of the Babylonian captivity. The Lord had said through Jeremiah that it was going to last 70 years, and so it did. Interestingly, whether you figure the 70 years starting from the time when the first exiles were taken off to Babylon in 605 BC to the time when the first returnees laid the foundation for the new temple, or whether you figure the 70 years from the time when the temple was destroyed in 586 BC to the time when the new temple was finished. Either way, it's 70 years. And a big question for God's people during those years, during the exile, was how are they supposed to sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And yet, the Lord had not abandoned his people. He was still with them through his word. Even though they were away from the temple, and even though the temple was eventually destroyed, Jeremiah wrote a letter to the exiles in Babylon. He told them not to stray theologically, but to make the best of it and to seek the welfare of the city where they were exiled, knowing that that exile was, after all, temporary. Their God still reigned.
Over the last couple of months in this series, we've come across some prolific prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Today, we meet another one, Ezekiel. Give us some of his background.
Ezekiel was a priest. He was one of the Judahites taken off to Babylon in the second deportation, the one in 597 BC. This also involved King Jehoiakim. But Ezekiel, while he was a priest at that point, was not yet a prophet. He received his prophetic calling in Babylon a few years later, in about 593 BC. He was 30 years of age at the time, and his entire 22-year prophetic career was spent there in Babylon with his fellow exiles. For his first few years as a prophet, Ezekiel gave strong, stern rebukes because the exiles were impenitent. And so, like Jeremiah back in the Holy Land, Ezekiel kept saying that Jerusalem and the temple were going to be destroyed. Now, that destruction is reported halfway through the book of Ezekiel in chapter 24. And thereafter, Ezekiel gave words of hope and comfort from the Lord. One of the expressions that keeps coming up again and again in Ezekiel's prophecy was, "And you shall know that I am the Lord." Those words are in the book of Ezekiel about 60 times. Now, see, Babylon was a very enticing place, and Ezekiel was the prophet the Lord had there on the ground, as it were, with his people to keep them in his word, to keep them believing that he is the Lord.
Here's the account from Ezekiel 34. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my own sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between fat sheep and lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust out all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. Tell us about this particular passage.
Well, pretty obviously, it's about shepherds and shepherding. In the Old Testament, God called kings and prophets shepherds. You see, in his care for his people, the Lord wanted to give them, well, something qualitatively different from just mere leaders. He wanted to give them shepherds. Kings and prophets were to take care for God's people the way that shepherds would care for sheep. Through Ezekiel, the Lord was telling his people in captivity in Babylon, in this passage, that their shepherds had failed them. These bad shepherds cared more about themselves than they cared about the sheep. But the people should not start following the lead of the Babylonians and their idolatrous religion. The Lord himself was starting to replace the wicked shepherds. He was going to replace them with himself. He would become their shepherd.
Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. It's our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We're talking about the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Our conversation, especially about God being the shepherd and his people the sheep, will continue after this.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year with Dr. Ken Sherb. We're talking about Ezekiel. So before the break, you were discussing how God himself was going to be the shepherd of the people. If God is the shepherd and then his people are sheep, that's a pretty loaded comparison, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Because, face it, sheep are dumb. And I suspect that even if you have no first-hand experience with sheep, in other words, if you're like me, you've heard about this down through the years in sermons. I mean, I am told that a mother sheep will sometimes not even recognize her own offspring. Sheep can be kept in a pen even if the pen has no gate, because if somebody lays a pipe or a rod on the ground across the opening, the sheep usually won't pass it. And sheep rescued from a burning barn have been known to try to run back into that barn. Sheep are dumb. The comparison between dumb sheep and people really ought not to surprise us, because sin makes people stupid. The prophets prior to Ezekiel had been saying just that. One of the first things you see in the book of Isaiah is that prophet saying, "The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel knows nothing." For his part, Jeremiah added, "Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming, but my people know not the rules of the Lord." Sometimes, Todd, people say ignorance is bliss, but not in this case. Sin makes us stupid, like sheep. And we know what that's like, don't we? Left to ourselves, we stumble around lost and defenseless, in need of help and hope that we ourselves just cannot bring about.
So what was the Lord saying through Ezekiel about the bad shepherds and what he would do to them?
He was angry at those shepherds who did not care for the flock. Remember, he meant the faithless kings and the false prophets who had failed the people and now ended them up in exile. These men had failed, and their first failure was that they did not feed the sheep. In Ezekiel 34, feeding the sheep stands out as the chief duty of the shepherd. I mean, a shepherd can gather stragglers, bandage wounded, but if he fails to feed the sheep, none of those things will make any difference. Well, all the faithless shepherds had not done really any of the duties of a shepherd, starting with failing to feed the sheep. So the Lord declared a takeover. He himself would be the shepherd of his people. He said, I myself. Everything the old shepherds had done wrong, the Lord would, of course, do right. He would take care of his sheep. He would gather them. He would bandage them. He would feed them. He would be their shepherd. They would not want.
Now, that was good news, but the Lord wasn't finished giving good news in this section, was he?
No, there was more. Toward the end of the section that you read there, Todd, after the Lord had gone on and on about how he would replace the bad shepherds with himself and about how great that was going to be for his people, now he adds, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Now, let's be clear about this. The Lord was not going to bring David himself back to be king. This wasn't going to be reincarnation. No, the Lord was promising that he would bring into the world one from David's family who would be the shepherd of his people. And he was not going back at all on what he had just been saying about personally becoming the shepherd of his sheep. See, what you have here is yet another prophecy of the coming Christ in Jesus, who is both God and man. It's true. God is the shepherd of his people, and David, that is a descendant of David, is the shepherd. If you remember the story of David, the Lord had taken David from the work of being a shepherd, watching sheep, animal sheep, to make him king, to give him people sheep, as it were, in his kingdom. Now, compare this with Jesus. Jesus is God and therefore King of kings from all eternity. But Jesus did not hesitate to be the good shepherd. He did the dirty work involved in being a shepherd. He himself said the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. On the cross, he was protecting us from the threatening peril of our sins by taking it upon himself and dying under it. And then this good and great shepherd rose from the dead, and he lives to keep on protecting and leading and guiding us. He indeed has the authority to lay down his life and to take it up again. Jesus lives and feeds his church, his flock, on his word. And not only did he do the work of salvation, not only has he sent the word out into the world, even reducing it to writing by inspiring the prophets and apostles. On top of all that, he has also given his church proclaimers to preach his message. He's given his church pastors, under-shepherds of the Good Shepherd. St. Paul told the pastors from Ephesus, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he has obtained with his own blood." Pastors feed the flock on the message of Christ. That's the essence of their work, to feed the sheep.
In this section, what does the Lord say to the sheep about themselves as sheep?
Well, first, Todd, it's interesting to see what he did not say. After he had emphasized the shepherd's feeding, when he turned to the sheep in Ezekiel 34, he did not say, "Now you guys be sure to eat the food that you are served." We might expect him to tell the sheep to eat, and of course there are lots of Bible passages where he says something like that, but he doesn't say that here in this particular passage. Why? Well, let me try to tell you about a children's sermon I did one time on this passage. I'm not at all against children's sermons, but I do think that children's sermons need to be geared to the very youngest kids, that is, to the ones who are least likely to be able to keep up with a 20-minute adult-oriented sermon. And so that means object lessons are out, because 3- and 4-year-old kids generally are not going to make the connections between whatever that object is you have in your hand and the spiritual truth you're trying to teach. Well, in the case of this one children's sermon on Ezekiel 34, I got to tell you, I broke my own rule because I used an object lesson. Actually, I got the kids to be the object lesson for the adults. Now, almost none of these kids had ever had any experience with sheep, so I told them, think about dogs instead. So I asked one volunteer to just act like a dog. And I pretended to set on the floor a bowl of food. And my pretend dog just came right over and pretended to start eating from that bowl. Nobody had to tell that young boy how to act like a dog at supper time. He just started playing like he was eating. It went without saying that a dog is going to eat when food is placed before him. And that's my point here about Ezekiel 34. Yes, there are other places in Scripture where the Lord does tell his people to hear his word, to sort of eat what they are being served. But here in Ezekiel 34, that went without saying. You don't have to tell a hungry animal that he's got to eat. Then next in my children's sermon, I told the kids, there are about 10 or 15 of them, to pretend that they were all dogs. So they're all sitting up, you know, with their tongues hanging out, with their paws up, as it were. And then I acted like I was setting down a single dish of food, and I stepped back. And you can imagine what happened. The kids, each of them down on all fours on the floor, pretending to be a dog, all went for that same spot on the floor at the same time. Every one of them wanted to be first to the food. They knew that's exactly what dogs would do. It was the most disorganized scene I ever witnessed in a children's sermon, whether mine or anybody else's, but it made the point. And that's really the next point in Ezekiel 34. The Lord, who promised to feed his sheep, told them not to mess things up for one another.
How might they mess things up?
Well, God warned about two ways that that might happen. One was for the strong sheep to trample the food underfoot. And so the food would either be pushed down into the ground and so inaccessible, or it would get to be so full of dirt that it was of questionable value to eat it anymore. The Lord often warns us about false doctrine, false teaching in the church. Rather than unhealthy, mud-filled food, he wants us to retain the standard of healthy words that come from him. That's what we ought to be feeding upon as his sheep. So don't do anything that's going to falsify the message. But the Lord also told the sheep not to trample on one another and push each other aside from the food. That's what happened in my children's sermon. Once I heard somebody ask the question, is there anybody in your church that nobody likes? Think about that. And then think more seriously still, is there anybody in your church whom no one loves? Do we have unloved people who are kind of pushed to the periphery, pushed away from the Word of God by everyone else? It's amazing how insensitive we can be, even without realizing it.
Give us your true and false review.
True or false? In Ezekiel 34, the Lord said that He would be the shepherd of His people. True. He was going to replace the faithless shepherds, that is, the kings and the prophets, and He would Himself be the shepherd. He would do all the things that they failed to do. He would seek the scattered sheep. He would bind up their wounds. He would feed His sheep. True or false? In Ezekiel 34, the Lord said that He would make David the shepherd of His people. And that, too, is true. It's really a nickname. David here means a descendant of David, Christ. The Lord had specified one shepherd, not the bewildering multiplicity of false and wicked shepherds, one shepherd. And that was going to be one shepherd who is both a descendant of David and God Himself. True or false? In Ezekiel 34, the Lord told the sheep to eat what the shepherd feeds them. False. Because eating what you are fed comes naturally enough. What the Lord did tell the sheep was, don't mess it up for anyone else. Don't trample the food underfoot, and don't angle in so that you make sure you get yours, but no one else gets any. Instead, make God's good spiritual food available to all.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Katie Faust is with us on the other side of the break. She's founder and director of the children's rights organization, Them Before Us. We're going to talk about the adoption of two children by Pete Buttigieg and his gay partner.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will, and us who rightly seat us.
The 21st century.
As my heart longs to reach its peace, a time for love, a time for peace.
The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.